Look, this morning, it's going to be one of the simpler messages that you've heard. But let me tell you what, don't let simplicity be a stumbling stone for you, because I'm telling you what, the stuff that goes wrong in your life and in my life, it's not because you get the complex things wrong. Okay? Your marriage, if it's going through a difficult time, it's probably not because you're getting the complex things wrong. It's because you're not doing the basics. Okay? All right? Your budget, if it doesn't work, it's not because there's some secret you haven't learned. It's because you're taking the card and you're going to a place to buy stuff you don't need. Now, that's very simple. But that's the problem. Don't make it complex. All right? The problem, sometimes in your friendship, in your family, with your children, with your spouse, it's not some secret you need to learn. You need to learn how to be humble and say, sorry. Okay? That's a problem. And so when we go to the foundational things of the faith, don't minimize them. Don't make that mistake. Because it is the simple things we get wrong. Isn't that true? If you go to someone that's who knows someone or has known someone in one stage, that's been addicted to a substance. Enige iemand, enige met miskien tik of alcohol, nee, dis mos die Weskaap, ons ken. It's very simple what the solution is, stop it. But now try it. Try to do the thing that's simple. Like, okay, and so this morning I want to take us to an area that as a Christian, we need to get this right. We need to get this going. Okay, we don't need to be perfect. There's one that's perfect, the Lamb who was slain in our place. Isn't that incredible? He died and lived in our place for our mistakes, but now he leads us on our way. Isn't that true? So I want to talk this morning about getting a few things right around prayer. And my hope, this is my not-so-hidden agenda. Okay, I would love you as the sermon goes on to start to think and dream about growing in your prayer life with the Lord. That's it. That's my goal for this morning. All right. Is that okay, everyone? All right. So let's read together. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the what? To the throne. There's a throne of grace. Okay, there's a throne and its nature is that of grace. Okay, that's important. That we may then receive, all right, there's things to be given, things to be imparted, mercy and find grace in time of need. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to think about this idea, just grab my water, about the throne of grace, a place of prayer. It is a place where we go of the nature of grace, and when we go there, we receive from the Lord things. Okay, in prayer. Now, before I go on, I want us to get this idea of you going to the Lord. Just imagine yourself going to the throne of grace to pray. Now, the reason I want that image to get stuck in your head is because sometimes we settle for less. We say, oh, I pray quite a lot. I pray the whole day. Okay, pray without ceasing. That's what Scripture says. And so, how's it going with your prayer life? How do you pray? Oh, I pray the whole day. I pray in my car. I pray in the shop. I pray at work. And that is great. But let's call that prayer on your way. Okay, prayer on your merry way. As you go, you pray. And Jesus did that. On his way somewhere, he would find someone with a need. And he would say, hey, what can I do for you, Lord, that I may see? And he would pray. At one stage, he's going on his way to someone's house, and there is a woman in need. She crawls through the crowd. She touches him. she gets healed. And so as he goes, often people come up to him, and right there and then he prays. Isn't that true? Everywhere, every place, everywhere. But he also, certain times, withdraws for the night, and he goes on his own. To what? To pray. Now it's different. It's a different focus in prayer, because when he does that, what he's doing, he's going on his way to pray. Okay? He's not praying as he is advancing somewhere and there's a need. He's going for the purpose of praying. Can you see the difference? So what that talks about is priority. All right. And so what I want us to get is not to settle for only praying as we go, but literally going to pray. All right. And so each of us needs a game plan. When are you going to the throne of grace? When does it work in your life for your family? Is it early morning? Is it late evening? When can you go, like Jesus says, close the door? If you've got children, soundproof door, lock it, latch on, alarm. Right, now you pray. There needs to be a place in your life where you go with the purpose of praying the throne of grace. In order that when you come out and you go, you are full of substance to give as you go. All right? You cannot run on empty. You will give words out of the flesh. Okay? You feel today one way. Now that's the prayers you pray for the people. When you go to the throne room, the substance, when we go, we receive from the Lord mercy and grace in our time of prayer, and that we carry out. Okay. It's a very important discipline of a Christian. A Christian needs a prayer. You don't need a prayer room, but just get what I'm saying. You need a place of prayer where you pray for the purpose of praying. And sometimes you need to go there without a list. Just pray. Okay. Now, you've got that picture, right? Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to share with us four things that happens at the throne of grace when you go to pray in order to psych you up. Was I die dame wat so mooi daai show verblaas? Lang afstand atleet longe daai hoor. Ek sê vir Danny moet inskryf hoor. Hy sal loop. Hom lanklaas se show vir so mooi gehoor blaas, hè? The first thing that happens in the throne of grace, it is a place of deep fellowship. It is a place of deep fellowship. Now, let's sit on this a little, because I want to show you how significant your time at the feet of the cross, at the feet of the throne is. Let's ask this question. What makes for a deep friendship? Just ask the person next to you. Okay, let's do that. Vraag die ou langs jou. What makes for a deep friendship or deep fellowship? Take a minute. I'm not going to ask you for answers, but let's see. What takes friendship or fellowship deep? Okay, so an atheist was once fiercely debating and fighting with a minister of God, and he said the following. He said, how can you claim that there's friendship between God and man? I mean, and he said, it's the craziest thing to think about. You say God spoke this world into being with his words. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. He's everything you're not. Okay? He's galaxies apart from you. How can you throw the word? You can maybe say you're his servant. You can maybe say you are his robot. But you can't say friendship. Can you see what he's trying to argue? He is miles apart, was the argument of this man. There's been this saying, for you to be friendly with someone, that's easy, but to really go deeper in friendship, there's a moment we call the, or I at least call it, the U2 moment. Now, that's not the band, okay? Not U2, it's YOUTOO, okay? U2. Often, you are the deepest of friends, if you think about it. When you have a U2 moment with another person. You're like, I thought I was alone here with this thing. But you've also faced this. Is this a reality in your life also? Have you also gone through that? And you sit down and you hit it off. Who's experienced that in your life somewhere? Okay. Sometimes, okay, this is a funny example. Maybe you like this artist that sang somewhere in the 50s. And everyone in your family thinks you are crazy. Like, I'm a sick as out. Hoe kan jy nou die goed luister? And then one day, one of your friends puts on a CD and you're like, oh, come on. We told it that fun. It's like, and your friends, were you too? Oh, there's something here. We both love. I understand you. No one, can you let my family, you're like, I'm all gaan loop. Because I found someone that understands. Okay? I want to read you a poem. This is my favorite poem, and I also think it's the only poem I know. The name of this poem is Jesus of the Scars. It reads as follows. It's just the last paragraph. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. To our wounds, only God's wounds can speak, and not a God has wounds, but thou alone. When you go to the throne of grace, in the time where you plan to go there, and you're going through an extremely, now I'm not joking, difficult time in your marriage, for example, and you pull in there and you say, Jesus, this relationship is challenging me. I feel like I'm being betrayed. And he turns his mouth to your ear and he says, you too? You go to him and you say, Lord, I know my family needs me to be strong right now, but I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed with the task ahead. I just don't know. I'm not sure how I can handle the cup that I need to face the next week. And he turns to you and he says, you too? Friendship with God is extremely viable. We have a high priest who has faced the winds, the storms that we face every day. And when we see him in heaven, we will see. He knew all the way. Lord, I don't know how my heart will heal the way my family, maybe with your children, parents, the way the family is breaking right now. It's breaking my heart. You too? And the father turned his face from the son and put the punishment for the sins of the world on him. A family was broken. He knows. You too. He knows. Maybe it's a simple prayer. Lord, I want to be strong for my family, my children, maybe my grandchildren, but this back, maybe it's a simple one. This back, Lord, I just cannot deal. You too, come to me that you may receive grace and mercy in time of need. Friendship with Jesus is much more viable than friendship with any other human, actually. He has walked in your shoes. Isn't that incredible? The throne of grace is a place of deep fellowship. You too. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Who of you are looking forward to your next time of prayer? He's there. What are you facing? Get it out. If you open your heart, you will hear him say, you too, this is what we're going to do here. I'm going to help you. Amen? Number two, the throne of grace is a fortress for the humble. Okay, it is a fortress, important, and for the humble. Now, follow me here. Well, C.S. Lewis wrote the following. I thought it's quite funny, but very telling. He says, it takes a good man to repent, yet only bad men needs repentance. Can you see the problem there? When you go to the throne of grace, you get what? It is the throne of grace. Okay, all right. Who needs grace? Why? Okay. There's a difference. When you go to God in prayer, you don't go to a throne of judgment. Okay. If you do, if you think you're proud in your heart, you're like, oh man, I've got this down. I'm the one in this town. Franz Hook should look to me for an example. I mean, I've got it down every area of my life. When I go to God, He better gives me what I deserve. I want the throne of judgment. Lord, judge my perfect life and give me what I deserve. You pray like that, you're in danger. You better go to a throne of grace. Because if you and I get what we deserve, we'll look at Armageddon, net all. We go to a throne of grace because grace is what we need. Because sinners is what we are. Okay. And so the throne of grace is only a fortress for the humble. For the one who knows what I need is to be covered by the Lord. The blanket of grace. That's what I need. All right? Now, we often think that's a bad thing, like going to the Lord with repentance and openness and vulnerability. But I want to tell you guys a story. In Secunda, it's probably one of the couples that was the nearest to my wife and I relationally. Now, this lady, the wife, when she got pregnant, okay, she was one of those, she was sick for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay. Some of you had pregnancies like that. You know what I'm talking about now. And often she would be hospitalized in her times of pregnancy because she would be dehydrated. In the hospital, out of the hospital. Go to work, out of work. She goes like that. And then this happened more than once. On week 13, 14, that's quite a solid way into your pregnancy. Miscarriage. Down and out, 13 weeks. Okay, we're going to try again. And so the third time when this happened, they phoned us, they said, can you come over? When they said, let us go over, I told my wife, I've got no words here. I'm not qualified for this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So went into that house, and it's this, just an atmosphere of brokenness. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. And we got a prayer out. And they wiped the tears, and somehow they were like just so happy that we were there. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? Like we've had a pregnancy that went well, no problem, and then we adopted. Like for us, we can't say to them, you two, you know, we've never been there. But it was just a tough moment, if you can just imagine. But as I'm lifting my head and I'm just taking a breath, I'm like, I've never felt as close to another person than what I'm feeling to these two friends right now. And it is in the moments of their most brokenness. I've never felt closer. And the Lord taught me something there. It is a fortress when the humble knows how to get into that place with the Lord where we open our chest and say, Lord, maybe the pain comes from another place. Maybe it's the pain of sin, repentance. But there's a closeness with the Lord reserved for the humble that draws in. Isn't that incredible? And so it's a place. It's a fortress of strength. It's there where the blood flows, where we are the nearest to the Lord. Isn't that true? So don't shut off those areas of your life when you go to the throne room of grace. These are opportunities for nearness. These are opportunities for deep fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near. The third thing I want to say this morning is, at the throne of grace, our hearts are nourished. Okay? We receive something there when we go to pray and be with the Lord. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, there's a prayer room, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Something is given. Something is granted. Something is sent to your inner being to help you, guard you, lead you. Okay? So the throne room of grace is a place of transaction. Not in a bad sense. It's a place of rather sharing. We come in, we share, and God cares for us, not by saying, good luck. Yes, he says, you too, I understand. And then he sends to our hearts what we need. In this case, for example, peace, or sometimes joy, or grit, endurance. He gives to us. Now, what I want to say about this, why this is very important, is we must learn to receive nourishment from the Lord. Let me explain it this way. We are humans, and so we get hurt. We have expectations that don't always get met. You know what I'm talking about. When they don't get met, there is an opportunity for hurt, offense, maybe something like that. So what happens in our lives, we get a cut to the heart. Okay, you come to church, you're like, yes, church is a great place. I'm going to find my place in this church. And by accident, what happens? You fill in a card, no one phones you back. The card fell under the carpet. I don't know, something like that. You think, well, I'm going to greet the pastor. Oh, the pastor's on sabbatical. It's not a good start. You know what? I'm going to ask that small group leader if I can come to their small group. But as you walk to them, they're racing past you on their way to kids' church. You think, that's it. And you get a cut to your heart. Now, when you go to your prayer room, the Lord helps you in healing up when you get hurt. If you don't go, that cut expands. All right? Now, you were offended. I just had that example. If that's not good, please forgive me. You had a cut to the heart for a moment, and you were offended. That can be dealt with. Are you with me? Let's go to the Lord in time of need. You will receive grace and mercy, or the peace that surpasses all understanding will come and land on your wound. Now, you don't go to the throne room of grace. You move from being offended to, in your life, becoming an offense-prone person. Oh. Oh. That could have been dealt with. That could have been dealt with at the throne room of grace. Are you with me? You realize God has put a lot of passion in you. You've got a lot of drive. And part of it is your way that you get things done. But there is a weakness you have. You have a cut to the heart. You get angry very quickly and impatient and rude. Now, when you go to the Lord, he's helping you. Turning your anger, he's growing the fruit of patience in your heart, and you are still effective, but now you are growing in love. Now, you don't come to the Lord. At first, as a young Christian, you got angry once or twice. You don't go. What happens to you? You become an angry old person. Yes, a mulika means. The throne room, our hearts are nourished. We are helped. You know, it happens to us. There's things in our parents we don't like. It's like, I'll never be like that. Did you hit 45, 50? Your wife says, you are exactly like that. Come on, jy lach, want jy weet het gebeur met jou. You are sounding like her. Just like your mother. And if your husband tells you that, you fume. Hy moet dit net sê as jy nie 'n pan in die hand het nie. Look, if you want to grow to be different, you need to get to the Lord. He nourishes your heart. Look, we need to be like our parents in all the good ways. Okay, that's how the generations builds themselves in strength. When two people marry, okay, when two people marry, you have the opportunity to take what the one family did well with some strength of a different family that your family did not have. They bring their strength. Now, when you have children, you teach your children the strengths from this family and you impart to them the strengths of that family. So your children should be the best of their grandparents with the help of the Lord eliminating the weaknesses. Are you with me? So the church, imagine those children, okay, marry other godly children. They bring together the strength that their parents have already eliminated some of the weaknesses. That's how we are supposed to build generation on generation. This is only possible if you and I today decide that the Lord may nourish and heal the cuts on our hearts. Isn't that true? Now, I don't want to hurt or offend anyone, but I hope this comes across as hope. It is not normal for a Christian, okay, when you are in your 30s, to still have an open wound about that thing that happened when you were 15 years or younger. Okay. Now, what might have happened to you was brutal and wrong, but when we go to the Lord, He will help you heal. Now, it will still sit there, but hopefully now as a testimony that gives strength to your family and to the others. Okay? But what is important is that which has happened to you, I use the example as under 15, could be in your 20s, he came, he hurt you, he left. I don't know this congregation. It's a great thing. You know I'm not talking about any one of you, okay? I don't know you. Don't build your identity on a wound. It's a bad move. Don't start with, but you know what? I am the kind of person that struggles with anxiety. You introduce yourself like that. Come on. You know, when I was young, I was raped, and so I just always have hang-ups. What happened to you? Yvette, maybe. So wrong. So wrong. If you go to the throne of grace, you will receive love, mercy, healing for your heart. But don't build your identity on a wound. Wounds are meant for healing and for testimony going forward. Isn't that true? Amen? Some of you here, you've been hurt by churches. Isn't the greatest hurts? It's nothing quite like a good old church scar, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you what, the sheep also bites. I've been in ministry now for 15 years, and some of the most brutal things said to me was by people coming to a church. So I know, like, I mean, for the other people in church, it can also be quite challenging. But you go to church and you expect the best. Isn't that true? I mean, no one goes to church for a fight. You come to church for change. You come to church for the hope of friendship. I mean, it's not even all wrong. I mean, young people come to church to find a spouse. That's not bad, okay? Where else must they go? Come on. We come with great expectations. And then that guy is just as rude as the guys out there. And you think, shucks. And it puts a wound on your heart. Be healed. Heal up. Have your expectations right. We will inflict some wounds here. Okay, the reason why the hurts in church can be so much more is because it's not a stab from the front. Okay, it's a stab from the back. This is where you think I've got trust. Okay, this area is covered here. These are my people, and then it hurts the most. Be healed from that. Go to the Lord. So you are not useful to the Lord if you don't heal up. Amen? Okay. Because you're being triggered every week again and again. So that must now, I've got one of these wounds on my hands. This actually happened in a rugby game, that little thing there. But it's healed. It's not full of pain. But my young daughter asks me every day, what is the eye? What's our eye? And they said, no. It's when we played rugby. We actually won that game. So I'm like, no, it's a great wound. You know what? We won. So turn your cut. Just win the game. Win the game. Listen, I got hurt in this way. I have learned. Jesus of the scars. To my wounds, only God's words can speak. And his wounds has healed me up. I have learned and help other people. Isn't that true? At the throne of grace, our hearts are nourished. We think we know what we need, but often we don't. So get to the throne of grace that God can distribute to your heart what you need. Children don't know what they need. At the moment, we had this thing. Yes, julle ouens sal weet wat dit is, maar ek weet nie. Dis so krap ding wat die kinders het. And this little rash jumps from the one kid to the other one. He and he knees op, he be rug. I'm so tired of going to the doctor. But we've got three types of medicine we must administer to our children. And only the oldest one will sit still. Because the other don't know what they need. But we nourish them with what they need because they live in our house. So they think they're going asleep and then we come into the room with their nourishment. We nourish them with antibiotics and stuff. And so we are the same with God. As his thoughts is higher than our, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so his thoughts is higher. So what do? You get into his presence and you say, distribute to my heart what I need. That's it. Sometimes you maybe know what he's doing. Other times you won't know. Just get into his presence. Sing to him. Honor him. Acknowledge him. Pray to him. Feel nothing, that's okay. Go out and enjoy your day. Serve the Lord with gladness. This is one. My wife works a little bit on as a project manager when houses are being built. Okay, so this one guy that does the joiner, that does the kitchen. He's got this one guy that works for him, and I realize there's something wrong here. So when I greet this young man, I look at a new one, Buffalo. I say, Mora. And he just looks like this. And he goes on. I'm like, well, there's something not right. Now, if you do that to me, like my goal the next day is to get you to say, hello, and give a smile. So the next day I'm there again. I say, hello, hoe gaan het vandaag? And then he goes on. And I don't know if it's a joke. And so after a couple of days, I ask Martins. I'm like, Martins, he's now the owner of the little company, what's wrong with Buffalo? He says, he went away for a weekend when they were playing soccer. He's a very good soccer player. And something happened on that weekend, and he's never told anyone what happened. But since that day, he will not speak. A wound was inflicted on the life of a young man. 8 years later, he will not speak. Heal your wounds. It might not be as drastic, but that's the problem. If you don't know, you don't know the measure of freedom there is for you. Well, the great thing is he started to speak with one of the guys there at church, the cleaner. He's becoming best friends with the cleaner and he opens up. Isn't that amazing? At the throne of God, our hearts are nourished and we don't have to be like Buffalo. And last one I want to say this morning. It's the throne of grace. There where we pray, it's a place where God fights for us. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Hey, but if anyone does sin or obtain a cut to the heart, we have an advocate. Why do we have an advocate? When do you get an advocate? When you are not up for the task yourself. Then you get someone to represent you. And jy gaan sit daar in die hoekie. En die beste ding om te doen is jy bly stil. Laat daai man praat. Now, when we go to the Lord, not only do we have a Savior that says, you too, I know. We have one who rises up and fights on our behalf. He's our advocate. This is very important because what this means is now If you go to him faithfully, all you need is faith. Like when you have placed something in front of him, okay, rise up and trust that the advocate is at work. Okay. Now, this might not be that the type of outcome that you give him. Okay. You might tell him, this is how you need to fix the situation. Okay, but you must remember, he's in heaven and you are on earth. All right? I just saw this video the other day about a lady that was so mad she was going to be late for work. She messed the coffee all over herself. She needed to go back home, get dressed, so mad at herself, mad at everyone. Because she was so late, she wasn't in the building 9/11 when the airplanes hit. Okay. Look, you never know. Okay. And so now she's alive with a stained dress. That's all right. That's okay. When you go to the Lord, make your request known to him. Don't instruct him too much. Ask, may this cup pass. Jesus was very open. He was, ask but submit. And let the advocate go to work and let him fight for you. If God wants to set an ambush against the man of Ammon, let him do it. If he wants the earth to open, so be it. If he wants to send a lightning bolt, so be it. If he wants you to pick up stones and throw them, do that. When you go to him, know that he will rise up and fight for you according to his wisdom. And so when you get up, you leave with faith and peace. You're like, you know what? I did submit that to the Lord. I'm going to take my peace and go and enjoy my jolly day. Now, I want to say this. Your pastor is not your advocate. Okay? All right? So don't be like the guy. No, none of you are like this. Okay? Okay? But in my church, don't be like the people, okay, that WhatsApps me every 4 hours to be their advocate. Okay? My man het weer gedrink. My man het gevloek. My man, like, what must I do? Okay? Firstly, I did not marry the man. You married the man. Okay? And jy het saam met hom gedrink. Nee? Okay? I'm not your advocate. Okay? Sorry. Your pastor is not your advocate. Okay. The reason a person is messaging the pastor the whole day is because they do not want to put the phone down, close the door, and go to the throne room of grace. Now you're messaging your pastor, and if he doesn't answer, you go to Facebook. Hierdie pastors wat nie antwoord nie. Yeah, again. There's another person that's not your advocate. Okay? Wives, your husband is not your advocate. He is your head. He's your cover. But remember, the head of a husband, the head of a man is Christ. There are certain things your man cannot fix. He is not Christ. He's just a man. Okay? So, if you go to him every day about the very same thing and you see he's struggling, give him a break. Go to the throne room of grace and speak to the Lord so that you can come out. You go speak to your God, the groom of the church. And then when you remember your man is only flesh and blood, you go out and love and enjoy him for what he is, a human. He is not the advocate. And the other way as well. Isn't that true? Amen? If we get the throne room of grace right, simple as it is, we're not going to do it, don't worry. If we were to like just stand up one by one and say, okay, I have a prayer room, I have a throne of grace, I go and pray to the Lord, I've got a set time, you will be amazed at how little Christians pray and read the Bible. Okay. But this is our place of strength. Isn't that true? You know what, one of your strengths in this congregation is that your pastor is one of the most incredible workers. worship leaders and musicians. Worship and prayer goes together well, which means this church should lead the way for many other churches. Know the throne room of Christ very well. Isn't that true? Just wrapping up, we go to that last slide. What happens at the throne room of Christ? Number one, it's a place of deep fellowship. You too, Jesus of the scars, but not a God has wounds. What does it mean? Every religion, you know, Zeus, he broke through the clouds and he was the strongest. Yeah, here comes Jesus, puts himself on a cross. No one takes his life from him, remember that. Lays himself down. It's the only God. And all the made up gods in the world, there's none where the God becomes so weak that he's actually killed. But God is so smart. He allows himself to be crucified like a lamb that is silent before its shearer. Jesus puts himself. He allows them to take the hand, other hand. He gives his feet to them so that he can be your and my effective high priest and sacrifice for sins. It's a fortress for the humble. When we go there with things we want to hide, we end up being so close to him that it feels like a place of strength. You're like, Lord, I thought when I come and I'm going to open my heart, yeah, you're going to smack me, but I've never felt closer to you, heart to heart. Throne of grace, the place where our hearts are nourished. It's time to say goodbye to some of those cuts, for some of those wounds. The throne of grace, it's a place where God fights for us. Isn't that true? What I want us to do this morning is I'd like us just to look at that, and I want you to choose maybe one of those things that's going down in the throne room of grace and ask the Lord with great faith to help you. So, Lord, this is something I want to press into. I want to know and understand this. I want to get closer. Which one bounces up to you? What is the Lord inviting you into? Just where you're sitting, maybe just pray through it for a moment. Say, Lord, I want you to help me with number two. Bring your request before the Lord. Ask him for help. Then what I want to do is I want us to just do a quick practice. If I can ask just the small group leaders and facilitators to come to the front quickly. We're gonna practice the throne room for a little bit. If you can just stand here next to me, some small group leaders, just face this way. You guys know these people. They cannot be your advocate, right? They're only humans. I don't know them, but I guess they love you very much. What I want you to do, I want us to be prophetic. I want us to move, because the throne of grace is a place where we need to move to. I want you to go to someone. Okay, I'm not forcing anyone. If you don't want to, please remain seated. But go to them and say, listen, I want to grow in this area. Will you pray together with me to the advocate that he will help me get this right? Okay. What you could do is you maybe come and say, listen, I'm struggling with deep fellowship with the Lord. I feel quite far. Pray for me for that, because I'm going in tonight to the throne room or tomorrow morning. Maybe you say, listen, I'm afraid to repent and to be transparent to the Lord about my sin or to other people. Pray with me that I will be strong in sharing what's really on my heart, to be transparent, because tonight I'm going in. I'm going to spend time in prayer. Or maybe you know there's a couple of cuts on your heart, things that has happened in the past, and it's really given you a limp. You, if you don't know this person, you don't have to come out guns blazing and tell them what it is. You can just say, listen, I've got a wound, and it's time for me to heal up. Will you pray for me? Just as a sign of movement. That's why I'm not leaving us in our seats. I want to see those step of faith. Maybe there's something that you feel it's just out of my control. It's something that's going down with the children or with a family in another town. And to you, it just feels that there's no way I can fight in that situation. I want to call on the Lord to fight on our behalf. Just come out and tell someone, listen, will you just pray with me that God will fight for my children in Kimberley. It's just going really tough. They don't listen to me. It doesn't matter what I say, but so I'm at the point where I need to ask the Lord to fight for us there. Does that make sense, everyone? So I'm going to count to three, then I want you to take a step of faith, come out with a request, give it to someone, short prayer, lay hands on them, let's pray for it and send them back, and so that we can pray for everyone that needs prayer. Amen? Father, as we just set our sights on a place of prayer in our homes, in our lives, I pray that you'll activate something in our spirits this morning that will bring us close to your chest. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just stir in the heart of everyone. Just feel there's some people where the chains have been cut, but you're still standing in them. Okay, so you need to walk. You don't have to fight even. You just need to walk into liberty. And so, Lord, so some of those chains, we've gotten to know them. And so we stand and hang around because we know how it looks and feels around here. But there's something for us around the corner. So some people need a change of scenery in their walk with you. Take them around the bend because you are waiting on the other side for them with something they don't even know. Bless your people here this morning, I pray, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus. So let's take action this morning. If that is you, one, two, three, let's move and let's receive prayer. Let's take that step of faith. It's going to be a quick prayer. When you get back to your seat, you can carry on with prayer. You tell them the need, you get activated, you get sent back. Let's pray in this place. Thank you, Jesus.